For the Lord searcheth all hearts and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee. But if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever. And verse 10 says, take heed now, for the Lord hath chosen thee to build an house for the sanctuary. Be strong and do it. Here we're seeing David as he's putting things in order at the end of his life. As we spoke, King David is giving Solomon, his son, godly instruction on how to serve God with his heart and with his mind. And every parent here, every teacher, every educator should have that as you teach younger people or those that are you're teaching. You should have a willingness to give them truth, especially from the things of God. So this morning we're seeing that David, here he's speaking to his son, and he's telling them, look, this is how this goes. This is what you need to do. Don't forsake God, the God of your fathers. Did you know you can serve God in your heart, with all of your heart, and your will not be in it? You can have the knowledge, the understanding of knowing something is right, like maybe serving God or having a relationship with him, whether it's reading his word, praying to God, seeking his face, maybe even working in ministry, going to church. There's a number of things that God likes people to do, not to get saved, but not to stay saved, but because the heart loves God. A willingness, knowing in your heart what God has done for you. And at salvation, realizing that. And so there is a time, there can be, you might be in that position this morning where you are working or going through your Christian life and your heart is far, maybe far from God. Your willingness, you're doing it maybe out of a sense of duty, but not your heart's not in it. Your passion is not in it. This is what I want to look at this morning. So there is a time you can do this. And David is telling Solomon here about, look, your heart. He says that the Lord searcheth all hearts and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts. And so we note that the heart and mind, the imagination of the thoughts, are linked. I want to share with you a verse, and I think I've used this before in teaching, but if you would turn with me to Proverbs. We're not going to turn to too many places, a couple places, but Proverbs chapter 23. I want you to notice what the Bible says and how it is actually put together. Very short verse, but he makes this statement in this phrase. Proverbs chapter 23, I'm looking at verse 7, and he says, for as he thinketh, and he's describing men, he says, as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. And he says, eat and drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with thee. You say, what are you saying? The Bible is saying this. He said, for as he thinketh, so as you think this morning, whether it's good, bad, indifferent, your mind might be a million miles away from here in this service and this message, but as you think, it's going to affect your heart. It's generally your thoughts are going to generate from what is inside of your heart. Yeah, you might be thinking maybe a family, maybe Pastor Tom, thinking of Sister Joyce and them safely getting to the hospital. There's a number of things you can think about. Today's Valentine's Day. Hopefully you're thinking about your significant other, your spouse. That would be good. Or about God. But here it is in your heart. So as you think in his heart, so is he. Your actions will generate from your thinking and your heart. And so if your actions are not good, if a person's actions are not good, they're evil, then you know out of the heart, now the thoughts, they're not good. And the heart is evil. And the Bible speaks of this. And we might look at that verse here in a minute. So when your thoughts get into your mind, and if you let them dwell in there very long, they will get in your heart. And they will begin to affect you. And when they get into your heart, that's what you become. Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5 says, and God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. So what affects the one affects the other, in essence, is what we're saying this morning when it deals with your heart and your mind. You can't enjoy something until you put your heart into it. And so you can submit, you can by obedience, but you might not like it or love it. And so when it comes to God, loving God or serving God, God says, I want your heart. Back in our text, looking at our text in 1 Chronicles, and he says this at the latter part or in verse 9, "The Lord searcheth all hearts and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts." And David was telling Solomon here, look, God wants and is interested in your heart being in doing right. And so you'll read in the Bible as you cruise through the Old Testament where it talks about these kings. And it says this king did that which was right in his eyes, in his own eyes. Or the king did that which was right in God or followed God. And he might not have followed God wholeheartedly, but followed God some of the time. And then he'll say, and he wholeheartedly followed God. Then he gives a description of that king and what he did or didn't do when he followed God. And so actions pursue after your thought or what's in your heart. This morning, you probably your heart, hopefully it was in, I want to go to church. Or I look forward to the Lord's day, getting around God's people and hearing maybe the preaching or teaching of God's word. That's very important. And so it should start from the heart. That's what God wants. He doesn't looking for a sense of duty, although we preach and teach some along those lines, but he wants the heart. And so you say, what are you going to say? Let's get to my first point. And I want to say this, number one, there is something distinct about our heart. There's something distinct about our heart. By way of declaration, God wants our hearts. If he has your heart, he will have it all. You see, if God knows if he has your heart, then he knows he has everything else that you have. But if he doesn't have your heart, it's going to be a struggle. It's going to be a hard time. The Bible speaks of this, where your heart is, it doesn't. Let's look at Matthew. I'm getting ahead of myself. Turn with me and look at Matthew. And I want to draw a parallel to this, dealing with the heart, our hearts today. Now, this is speaking kind of, it's in the New Testament, Matthew, but dealing with the Old Testament and quoting the Old Testament. And Matthew chapter 15 is where I'm headed. I got to go in the right direction here. Matthew chapter 15. Verse 8, notice what he says here. Christ is rebuking the religious tradition, and you'll find a parallel portion of Scripture in Mark chapter 7. But we're here in Matthew chapter 15 and verse 8. Notice what he says about the heart of people. He said, "This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." That, I guess, best describes hypocrisy, or somebody who, you've heard the term, that person's a hypocrite. That's what it would be. He says, so you got a person who is able to draw nigh unto God with their mouth. That means they're going to tell you a lot of good things about how close they are to God, or how well they love God or like God or the things of God. And he says, and he honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. There is something distinct about our hearts. Not only is there something distinct about our hearts, there is something deceitful about our hearts. And I alluded to this verse, and I'm going to have you turn to Jeremiah. The prophet Jeremiah did a good job with this, dealing with this and giving us actually the truth of the matter. But we're saying, secondly, there is something deceitful about our hearts. And I'll ask this morning as we're turning to Jeremiah chapter 17, what is in our hearts? What is in your heart this morning? Is it work? I know work is heavy on a lot of people. Work, it's all about work. How about pleasure? All we constantly think about is how we can have a good time or pleasure ourselves. And so you have pleasure. How about the world? We're just thinking about we can get out of here in time to go to maybe a function or something going on, and we supersede maybe our priorities in our Christian life aren't right. Maybe it's the world at the top. God's kind of third or fourth down on that list. And here, looking at our hearts and how it's prone to do evil. We read in Genesis over there where God looked down and he saw that the hearts of men were evil continually. So why we constantly harp on the evilness? It's because we're prone. Our flesh, our human flesh is prone to do evil and go astray. And so here, notice what Jeremiah was saying. And this did not give Jeremiah any brownie points when he said this. But notice with me in verses 5. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 5 says, "Thus saith the Lord, Cursed be the man that trusteth in man and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. Now notice with me verse 9. The heart, he's speaking on the heart, and he's trying to deal with the nation of Israel here. That's our context. Notice what he says here in verse 9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it is the question there. And then notice verse 10. I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. You say, God will let me do what I want. God will let you do what you want. He'll let you have the reins of your life because you do have a free will. And then he sees how you do, whether your heart is prone to want to go to God and do what's right, or prone to do what is not right and prone to go after the world or Satan or self. And so we see definitely, secondly, there is something deceitful about our hearts according to Scripture. And lastly, let's look. I'm watching the time here. We got plenty of time. Thirdly, I want to say this about the heart. There is something difficult about our hearts. And you say, well, why would it be difficult in our hearts? The reason why is because we have a will. We have a free will. God does not supersede or impress upon you. He might deal with you. He might try to interact with you and have a relationship with you. And sometimes, even for a child of God, in the context of being saved, we walk astray. God brings discipline into our lives, kind of remedical, kind of bring us back to Him, according to Hebrews chapter 12. But God knows that you have a free will. And so it becomes difficult. It begins to go contrary to what God wants your heart to be, or where it needs to be at. You say, what are you saying? I'm saying, how hard is your heart? How soft is it this morning? How warm is it, or how cold or indifferent is it this morning towards God? This is Valentine's Day. The heart should be nice and warm, especially to God, especially if you're saved in here this morning, knowing what God has done for you and I. And so your heart defines who you are. Your heart defines who you are. I don't know everyone here on a personal level, know about you. I've seen you. Maybe I have. Maybe I haven't. And likewise to me. I cannot see your heart this morning. I can only go off of what the Bible says here. I know what Matthew teaches about the four different types of heart. Here we're looking at where your heart is, where my heart's at. Is it sincere? Is there sincerity in your heart this morning for God? And so there's a difficult place in your heart. There's what we call a crossroads. And we get to that crossroad, and do we go the way of God, knowing I know this is right? Or do we go our way, or the way that we want to go? There's always a way that seemeth right unto a man. But the Bible says the way thereof is the ways of death. It always goes to the flesh or to death. And let me say this as we end this. The Bible has instructions for your heart. I'm going to give you a few, and I don't have time to turn to everyone. But the Bible says this about our hearts. He says this, and he gives us instructions to do this with our heart. He says, set your heart. Is your heart set toward the things of God? Most of our heart this morning, sad to say, they're set, but they're not set towards the things of God. They're set towards the things of the world or flesh or what we have or what we desire. And I'll tell you this morning, that is never the best way. Have you heard this? Follow your heart. Well, if you follow your heart, I can tell you, most hearts, they don't have no tendency to want to do the things of God or go God's way. We're prone to walk counter to God's way. So he says here, and this is why he gives us instructions, because it is up to us. It is up to our will. It's up to the individual. Set your heart and set it towards God. He says this, secondly, prepare your heart. This morning, is your heart prepared? Let me ask you this. If you were to have maybe a health issue and you find out that you only have maybe a few weeks or a month to live, is your heart prepared to go into eternity? Do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? Is your heart still wandering off doing what it wants to do and going in the direction that you want it to go in? Is your heart prepared to meet God? Because that's not up to God. That's not up to me. Some people think it is. It's up to the preacher. The preacher can get me. Preacher can't get you saved. I can give you the word of God, but the will in your heart is controlled by you. And the Bible said, look, you need to be prepared. Remember that parable it spoke of that man? He was a rich man. And he said, look, he had a big crop. I'm going to ad-lib here real quickly. And he says, I don't know what to do. Then he thought to himself and he says, I don't know what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and I'll build bigger barns. And my soul, I'll say to myself, my soul, eat, drink and be married. And God said, thou fool, tonight thy soul shall be required of thee. His heart wasn't prepared toward God. He didn't even think about God. He thought about himself and what he should do with all the gains that God had blessed him with. And he had forgot God completely. Listen, this morning, not only setting your heart to God is a good thing, but having a heart that's prepared to meet God is even a better thing. But that's not all. The Bible speaks of humbling your heart. Yeah. Well, let's move on to the next point. No. Humble your heart is God wants us to have a humble heart. You say, why? It's because when you have a humble heart, you're generally sincere towards God, number one. Number two, towards other people. And you're sincere and honest with yourself if you're humble. If you're not humble, what's the Bible say in Proverbs? A haughty spirit goeth before destruction, and destruction before a fall, something like that, kind of progression. And so we want to make sure that we have a humble heart. And the Word of God tells us that we should have a humble heart. It not only says that, it says, fourthly, apply your heart. Well, yeah, I apply my heart to my work. I apply my heart to the things I get involved in. I put my whole heart into it. I put my whole heart into the hobbies that I have, maybe some of the entertainment that I have, the fun stuff that I do. I put my whole heart into my family. I put my whole heart into my retirement because that's important. I think that's wise to do. I put my whole heart into anything else I do, but you never mention God. You never mention eternity. You never mention heaven. You never mention a concern for other people's heart or their souls. And so you walk through this life thinking you know God and everything else is just, you lay it to the side. You're living for self. You say, what are you saying? Applying your heart in the wrong direction is not good. It's not healthy. And you'll find yourself at the end of your life, whether it's short or long, having applied your heart your own way, all of a sudden you're lost. You're lonely, you're afraid, and you're facing death. And you haven't applied God to your heart. This morning, have you applied God to your heart? Have you asked God to come into your heart and save you? Well, we have another one. Fifthly, he says, keep your heart. Whew. Keep your heart. The Bible speaks of instruction of you and I keeping our heart. You say, keep it. Yeah, I think I can do that. That's pretty easy. Well, is it pretty easy during the pandemic? How about it? Has it been pretty easy keeping your heart towards God when you don't have a job? Is it pretty easy keeping your heart towards God when you're facing maybe an illness that could take your life or the life of your child or the life of a family member? It's not easy. It's hard. And the Bible says, look, we need to learn to keep your heart towards the things of God. Have you kept your heart towards God, especially during this pandemic? I know we haven't, because there's been many times we've preached and taught in here and been nobody in here. First of all, they wouldn't let you, barely us. But then I'm telling you, life can change quickly, and then all of a sudden you find out where your heart really is at. This morning we're zeroing in a heart checkup on Valentine's Day. Keep your heart. And sixthly, guide your heart. How would I guide my heart? Well, you would guide your heart through God's word, because God's words are true. You say, how do you know God's words are true? Because God is a righteous God. That's what it says, and that's what God is. And so if we're facing judgment, how are we going to be judged if we don't have God's words? What's the first excuse? I know what I'm going to give. If I didn't think we had God's word, I'd say, well, I didn't know what God's word was. I didn't have your word. How can you judge me on this? I didn't know what was right or wrong. That isn't going to fly because we have one of these, the word of God. So the judgment that we will face is going to come from the word of God. You say, how do I guide my heart? You guide your heart by the word of God. through the Word of God, through the preaching and teaching, as God and the Holy Spirit guide you. You say, well, I don't want anything guide my heart. It should be free. I should be the one. That's right. You have the trigger. You have the will to choose whether your heart goes one way or the other. That's true. But the Bible says, look, you need to guide your heart, and a wise man will listen to the counsel, not only the counsel, but counsel from God's Word. And so the Word of God is a guiding light according to what it says. It's a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I will hide its words in my heart that I might not sin against thee. And so your heart is guided by the Word of God, by the Spirit of God. But ultimately God says, give me your heart. And that's where we're going to end this morning. Give me your heart. This morning, you probably have, there's a number of you that have already given your heart to God. You've asked Jesus Christ to come into your heart, to save you from your sins, and to give you a home in heaven. You have trusted in the finished work of Jesus Christ, the one we preach and teach about, the one who died on the cross. It's the very same man that the Pharisees did not believe that he was the Son of God. They did not want to accept him as a Messiah, basically a picture and type of the world today. They don't. Yeah, he's a man. Yeah, he was a good teacher, sent from God. But he was not the Son of God, they'll say. Well, having accepted Jesus Christ, you know that he is the Son of God because he died, he was buried, and he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. And so, trusting Jesus Christ, trusting in that gospel, you have given your heart to God. But there could be somebody in here that is not sure that they've given their heart to God. I know about God. I know about Jesus Christ. I know about the cross. I've had experience with him. I like coming to church. I don't always come all the time, but I go when I can, when I think about it. I pray to God. I love God in that sense, but have you given your heart to God? It's kind of like me with this bottle of water. We've used this illustration before. I'm thirsty. I've got dry mouth up here. I'm real dry. But if I never drink this water, I don't receive it. It's just like Christ. Christ is like this water. You can look at it, H2O. You can dissect it. You can write a paper on it. You can even give a dissertation on it. But until you drink it, until you embrace it, until you receive it, you've never accepted it. You can buy it, you can sell it, and a lot of people do it through religion. But if you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you've never asked Jesus Christ to come in your heart, you've never given your heart to God. It's that simple. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to come forward. You don't have to get baptized. You don't have to shake the preacher's hand. You don't have to come to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, Sunday school. You don't have to give any money. God's not broke. Religion won't tell you that. Religion will take every dime you have. But God's not broke. He doesn't want your money. He wants your heart. Let's all stand. Heavenly Father, as a pianist comes, begins to play a song, Father, our hearts should be attuned to you, should be willing to be used and given to you, back to you, a sacrifice. That's all we have to give. It's the most important thing that we have to give to you. God knows this. He knew this, and that's why he has written it down in his word. If he has the heart, he has everything else. And it's the very thing that we don't want to give back to you. We'll give you money. Father, we'll give you our time. We'll give up our talent. We'll sacrifice. But Father, we won't quite totally give you your heart, our heart to you, to be used of you. If there's one in here this morning, I pray, Father, that they would be willing to give their heart to you as Lord and Savior of their life. Accept you as the Savior this morning. Let's all stand. What are we going to sing here? 308. Grab a hymn book and we'll sing 308.